From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, plenty of news from the Fish Board meeting last week in Petersburg. And on the other side of the Gulf, snow crab is on hold because of advancing sea ice, which is also causing problems for the pollock A-season fishermen. All that coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
And by
the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A summertime commercial Dungeness crab fishery in southern southeast is ending. The State Board of Fisheries this month voted against the continuation of summertime commercial crabbing in districts 1 and 2 around Ketchikan and southern Prince of Wales Island. Joe Vicknicki reports.
The board in 2009 voted to reopen those districts to the commercial fleet in a two-month summer season. The fishermen wanted more area for a fleet that's been impacted by sea otters and more chance to market their crab during a time of year when other West Coast fisheries are closed. The board, however, closed the summer season in District 2 in 2010 based on concerns from Kasan that the commercial catch was cutting into local subsistence needs. Ronald Layton, the vice president of the Organized Village of Kasan, opposed the latest proposal to continue the summer fishery. He said the commercial catch was making it more difficult for residents of the area.
Since it opened in 2009, the residents of Kasan have had a difficult time getting their customary and traditional use. I personally could not get any more than 20% what I used to get. I normally have some crab vacuum packed to my freezer, normally in the past years. I haven't had since it opened.
When the board first opened the controversial summer fishery in 2009, it included a sunset clause ending the fishery without further board action. A proposal by Ketchikan resident Clay Bezanek sought to remove the sunset clause and keep both districts 1 and 2 open in the summer. The proposal included a potential closed area around Kasan itself. Petersburg crabber Joe Willis testified against further commercial closures.
We really just can't afford any more closed areas. I fished Ketchikan this fall, and some of the areas that are asked to be set aside, and my pots came up with crab. I didn't seem like it was totally depleted.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game opposed the proposal, however, citing concerns with soft-shell crab caught by the commercial fleet during the summer months. The department doesn't have conservation concerns with the crab stocks in the two districts, but is concerned about mortality of summertime molting crab caught by the fleet. The department's Forrest Bowers explained.
The department's position has been that we support a fall-winter fishing scenario, so to that extent, that eliminating the summer season would avoid soft-shell handling. It could improve stock status.
Board members who supported the opening in 2009 said they no longer could, including Vince Webster of King Salmon.
The reason I voted for it 3 years ago, I haven't seen come into existence. So, and we may have misplaced some fishermen that built their operation on that winter fisheries.
Meanwhile, board member Tom Kluberton of Talkeetna offered two alternatives. One was a smaller commercial closed area. The other was a summertime fishery in District 1, but not District 2. Both those amendments failed, and the overall proposal also failed. The board voted unanimously against it, with John Jensen of Petersburg sitting out the vote. That decision reverts Districts 1 and 2 back to a fall and winter season. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
We'll hear from Joe again a little later in the show with more news from the Fish Board. But first, let's swing across the state to the Bering Sea, where rapidly advancing sea ice has put the snow crab season on hold. Stephanie Joyce has more.
As soon as Mark Casto got into port on Tuesday, he was already getting ready to head back out. He's captain of the crabber Pinnacle, and with sea ice rapidly expanding into the Bering Sea, he's worried about the 200 pots he still has in the water.
Just finding them again, if you can find them.
Casto says that the ice can drag pots for tens of miles and pop the buoys that keep them afloat. He's hoping he can make it to his pots before they're overtaken by the ice edge.
Well, I'm hoping they're 60 to 70 miles, but reports from the ground say they might be closer than that. So just got our fingers crossed we can get back up there in time.
Casto isn't the only one. Fish and Game Area Management Biologist Heather Fitch says there are more than 8,000 snow crab pots out on the fishing grounds right now. They cost at least $1,000 each, so that's more than $8 million worth of gear. and Fitch says almost all of the pots are north of 56.5 degrees. The ice was already at that latitude east of the Pribilof Islands on Tuesday, and it's forecast to move in quickly to the west. Kathleen Cole is an ice forecaster for the National Weather Service in Anchorage. She says that's unusual.
It's moving across the crab grounds and the cod area. It's moving into where they keep processing ships, and it's big ice. This isn't just, you know, 4 to 6 inch ice that we see often along the ice edge. There is ice thicker than 1.5 feet in some of these flows, and some of the flows coming down are over 15 miles wide.
Cole says the ice is moving in more quickly than usual as well.
In a regular day-to-day ice forecast, the ice might move 2 to 3 miles a day. And here we're having ice movements around 10 miles a day or more. There are some flows that I've watched on satellite imagery that actually have moved 15 to 20 miles in a day.
Cole says the ice edge hit St. Paul Island in the Pribilofs on Monday morning and will probably reach past St. George, 50 miles to the south, by the end of the week. A big part of the snow crab harvest has to be delivered to the Trident processing plant on St. Paul, which isn't possible when the island is surrounded by ice. Trident Council Joe Plesha says boats are still making it into the harbor, but he added that if the ice continues to advance into the fishing grounds, it won't just be St. Paul that isn't processing crab. Many crabbers who just finished up the pot cod season last week and hadn't headed out for their first snow crab run are waiting out the ice in Unalaska. Skipper Lance Farr is one of them.
We're not going to go up now in the face of the ice coming down and shutting the season down, the forecast. So we're going to wait, hopefully, you know, weather changes in a couple weeks and, you know, then we'll start.
He says the biggest problem with waiting is that it pushes back the season and increases expenses. But he added that this isn't the first time this has happened.
One year they even just canceled the whole season, delayed the season for a couple months because the ice had come down so far that there was no grounds to really start on.
Crabber Mark Casto, who's heading north for his pots, says it's all part of being a crab fisherman.
Pretty much every year there's, you know, an ice adventure. Sometimes it's trying to get into St. Paul and sometimes it's, you know, fishing around the ice. We just need a good southerly blow to come through and slow things down a little bit. Be good for everybody.
Reporting in Unalaska, I'm Stephanie Joyce.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Also out west, Bering Sea's biggest fishery is open once again. Alexander Gutierrez has this story on the pollock fleet's expectations for the eighth season.
Pollock A season opened on Friday, and usually around this time of year, the fleet is at its busiest. But this week, many boats are back in town with only one trip under their belt if they've gone out at all. The reason is obvious. With 50-knot winds, blowing snow, freezing spray, and an ice edge that's steadily creeping downwards, fishing conditions are less than ideal. Randy Rothis is a crew member on the Gunmar, which is back at the UNC dock after one trip. Despite the stormy start, he's still hoping that fishing is better than it was during the B season, when the fleet struggled to take its quota.
What we're hearing is that there's some plenty of sign out there, and in the other fisheries seem to be starting off to a pretty good start for 2012 between the cod fisheries with the pot cods. The OP fishery seems to be pretty strong right now. And so if that has an indicator, it doesn't tell we get out, the pollock guys get out there and start catching. We'll see how the fishery goes, but hopefully the expectations are a little bit better than last year.
Over at Alyeska, co-op manager Sylvia Edifa says she's envisioning what she describes as a more standard year. Right now, she's more concerned about the price for pollock than its abundance. The dockside price for pollock this A season is at 15 cents a pound. This time last year, boats were getting paid 17 cents a pound.
I'm kind of surprised and discouraged that the price of pollock isn't where it should be, especially when you compare it with the prices that hake was bringing into the market off the coast of the lower 48.
The other big thing that the fleet's keeping track of is salmon bycatch. During B season, it took about 19,000 Chinooks, more than they had taken in the last 3 years combined. Krista Milani is a biologist with the National Marine Fisheries Service Office in Unalaska, and she says that some boats are prepared to take a break from fishing pollock if bycatch continues to be a problem.
I know a lot of boats, if they run into salmon, will probably quit and move to do cod until a little bit later and then move back to pollock. But we know we won't know anything until they get out there on the grounds and start making some hauls.
The total allowable catch for pollock has been set at 1.2 million metric tons, with 480,000 of that available for harvest during the A season. 80 catcher boats and 16 factory trawlers are expected to participate in the fishery this year. In Unalaska, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.
State Board of Fisheries has voted against a sea cucumber proposal that was promoted by concerns over Southeast's expanding population of sea otters. A dive fishery group put forward the idea in hopes of harvesting more of the valuable bottom dwellers before they're all eaten by the otters. As Joe Vicnicki reports, the decision followed a presentation to the board about the marine mammals and their impact on the region.
The board heard an hour-long presentation about the latest research on Southeast sea otters, which are now estimated to total 20,000. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service marine mammal research biologist Verena Gill says the population is increasing at 4% annually in northern Southeast. That number is 12% in the southern part of the panhandle. Gill says otters haven't increased their range in the northern part of the region.
But they have increased their range in southern Southeast Alaska, and primarily that is that the main areas are around Kuyu Island and Kuprianov, around Totem Bay and around the Cake area, and then in the south around the Barrier Islands.
And they're finding that the predators are impacting shellfish, sea cucumbers, and other creatures caught by commercial fishermen. The dive fleet and crabbers have raised concerns about the issue for years. They worry the animals will eventually put them out of business. Commercial divers are anxious to see some action taken on the issue now. They submitted a proposal to the board that would have allowed for an increased harvest of sea cucumbers to account for otter predation. Phil Doherty is a former fish and game biologist and now works for the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association.
Look at different ways that we can go in there and perhaps harvest at a little bit of a different harvest rate or front load some of the harvest before they're gone. We are not saving these animals, be it sea cucumbers, gooey ducks, sea urchins, or Dungeness crab. We are not saving them for anything. And so the board will have to have that discussion. Do we want to try and harvest at a little bit higher rate, a little bit more now, and then see what happens a few years down the road? You know what's going to happen a few years down the road. They're not going to be there, regardless if we harvest or not.
The Board of Fish took up that proposal the following day. Board member John Jensen of Petersburg said he liked the concept.
I believe we should feed people before we feed sea otters.
But Jensen, a commercial fisherman and skiff rental business owner, was the only member who expressed support for the idea. Board Chair Carl Johnstone, a retired judge from Anchorage, opposed it.
To do so would reject the constitutional mandate to manage for sustained yield for the maximum benefit of the people. I understand feeding people rather than sea otters, but it would place a higher value on the gooey duck and the sea cucumber than the sea otter.
The board voted down the dive proposal with only Jensen supporting it. It's possible the cucumber fishery could see some changes still in the future. Under a different proposal from the state, the Department of Fish and Game suggested a variable harvest rate based on the estimated cuke numbers in different parts of the region. Fish and Game eventually withdrew support for that proposal, and the board took no action on it. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by the Pebble Partnership, listening before we act. Find out more at pebblepartnership.com.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had a ton of help from KFSK's Joe Vicnicki in Petersburg, and from KUCB's Stephanie Joyce and Alexander Gutierrez in Unalaska. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.